well, got to ask you something. She said, what? Well, will you marry me? Not very. Just a boom. And it's kind of worse. Every man have felt it just kind of goes out in the air, kind of hangs in the air for a while. Will you marry me? Well, she looked at me and she said, I think so. The words went into the abyss. She said, it's fairly soon, isn't it? Oh, mate. 2 weeks later, she said yes on the beach, shall we? But she started to get drip feed the jewels. Well, if she says no, flag it. Valentine's Day, she got one, and I just found any occasion to give her some jewels. She's going, what on earth is this? It's like a ransom or, you know, sure. All the stuff, huge, I mean, radical stuff. And she's just looking at it. And in the last, just at the wedding night, you know what I mean, she gets the last one. And, just amazing. Go on honeymoon, unbelievable. Come back from honeymoon, all hell breaks loose. Why is that? Well, in a few weeks, I'm thinking, whoa, I think you might have got it wrong. How could this happen? She could wind me up like no one ever could. She seemed to hit, instead of the, you know, the family does green, orange, red, she just went red, 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 red. And I had this silly notion of saying, you're just like your mother. Oh, not the thing to say. So I got it back, you're just like your dad. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, I've lost my peace, I've lost the presence of God, what am I doing? You know what I mean? Something's wrong, I should have stayed a celibate. How many ever felt like that? So I thought, time out, let's just build, you know what I mean? I was getting to the point, let's just cohabit. You know what I mean? We agree to be at peace just so we have peace. You know what I mean? Agree to disagree so that we can agree that we disagree. And I'd had the silly thing of actually inscribing in her ring that we will be one out of John 17. I had a wonderful vision before I got married of two vessels going into a furnace. Two clay vessels going into the furnace. As I watched this vision for quite a while, I was about to walk away from it because it seemed quite a long time. And then I was just about to turn away, I saw something coming out. And I saw this one golden vessel coming out of the furnace. I said, what a wonderful picture. Two clay vessels become one. I just didn't know how hot the fire would be. No, I didn't know, no clue. That's why I was so long, you're in there. So I'm looking at this thing and I'm going, oh, getting all this thing, God spoke to me. You know, how many you got to recall all your revelation and all the words and you're checking it all, your guides think, did I miss it? You know what I mean? Blah, 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 blah. What if? Have you done that? No. And I said to God, I said, what on earth is going on? What the heck's wrong here? He said, you have a divided heart. I mean, what? Oh, can't be. I'm full on. I'm fired up. I'm telling the whole lot there. And I said, well, if my heart's divided, you show me what my heart looks like. Well, that was a silly question, but I at least asked, you know what I mean? Some people don't even bother asking. As I asked the dumb question, I instantly got a vision of a vessel right in front of me, open, clear vision. Have you seen those stoneware vessels, like they're like wine casks? They have like cork taps on them, you know what I mean? So I'm looking at this vessel. As I'm looking at it, I see about four or five cork taps at the bottom of this vessel. I can see liquid pouring into it, and I watch it flowing straight through the vessel. Then as I look closer, I can see cracks and seepage, like, you know what I mean, you can see where the stain of the wine is actually coming out of that stoneware vessel. And I said, what's that? He said, that's your heart. That's your life. I said, what? He said, well, what's happening is that the light presence is coming into you and it's flowing straight through you. He said, when you were not involved in ministry, you felt very alive, you know what I mean, in the presence of God. He said, but as you've grown in the ministry, as you've been given more and more opportunity, you're starting to feel like you're being used by me. My presence is coming into you and it's flowing straight through you like a funnel. I said, then what do the cork taps represent? He said, those are people that you've given your heart to. He said, well, you learned as a young man, son, that you don't put all your treasures in one basket, so you spread your heart around. I said, what's the first one? He said, that's your mother. He said, you love your mother because she prayed you into the kingdom. You have a great affection for her, so although you've got married, you've actually left part of your heart in your mother's hands. He said, I told you to leave. How many women know you often end up marrying not only the husband, but their mother? Ah. How many men know when they marry the wife, they end up getting mum too? So I'm thinking, whoa, this is a bit scary, this revelation, okay? So I'm looking at this and I'm going, that's my mum, you know what I mean? I said, who's this? He said, that's Jane. He said, you love your wife and you have given a portion of your heart to her. He said, what's been happening? I said, well, I've been so hurt in these last few months of marriage. The honeymoon seems to be over. I'm tempted to withdraw my heart from her. You know what I mean? To protect it from what's going on. I said, what's that? He said, that's the church. You love the church. You know what I mean? You've put your heart into the church. You love the body of Christ. I said, what's that? He said, that's the ministry. You're wholeheartedly, as best you can, devoted into the call of God and the ministry and the lost. I said, what's that? He said, sport and surfing. I looked at that and I thought, what's the cracks? He said, those are people who have come up to you as a minister, and because you won't pray for them and because you won't counsel them, they're like a drowning person. They've crashed into you because they can see that you've got the living water in you, and because you won't give it to them graciously, they will take it by force. And they've actually wounded and hurt you and left you damaged as a vessel because they have no idea how to receive themselves. So they are looking for anointed vessels to receive anointing from. And because you wouldn't give it to them, they've actually smashed into you and actually wounded you in different ways and caused you to pull back from the presence. They've left you a damaged vessel. I said, well, God, I'm fairly damaged right now. The person that I love dearly has just been hurting me quite severely. He said, well, you've been doing the same to her, son. I said, what? He said, time out, pull back, pull back, come on. He said, Ian, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. He said, how much do you think of your heart is actually in me right now? Well, when you take mum, my wife, the church, the ministry, and my sport out, maybe 10%. If you're lucky. He said, you have a divided heart. He said, what does the Bible say? Give all your heart. He said, how much of a percentage do you think that is? Do we know you're in trouble then? I said, well, some people would say all is about 100%. I said, but if I give 100% of my heart to you, I have to take it back from these people, don't I? And where I put my heart? He said, that's right. He said, you've been juggling those eggs in the baskets for many, many years, son. He said, what is it? Where your treasure is where your heart is. And he's speaking to me. I'm going, okay, okay. Treasure is heart is. He said, what is the pearl of great price? You. What is the treasure? You. He said, if you put your entire heart in my hands, what will I do to your heart? And I said, well, you say you heal the broken hearts. And my heart's fairly broken right now by the person I love the most. Outside of you, Lord, I love this woman. But my heart's been pretty hurt. He said, what do I do to broken hearts? He said, I bind them up, I heal them, and I also protect them. He said, cursed is a man who trusts man, blessed is a man who trusts the Lord with all his heart. He said, I will also then purify the motivation of your heart. I will keep your heart in a very safe place because no one can touch it, no one can hurt it. And I will give back to you love. If I give you my heart, love will still come back. He said, you love because I first loved you. I said, if I do this and give my whole heart to you and bring my heart back from these other things and other people, what will happen to me? He instantly showed me a vessel, no taps, no cracks. I watched this liquid pouring in from the top into this clay vessel. I should begin to fill up. And as I'm watching it, I hear the Lord speak to me, give unto God and he'll give unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I thought, I've only ever heard that in the offerings, when the church is trying to get money. I have never heard it in relationship to the understanding of the heart. He said, son, you give me your heart and I'll give you back 100-fold what you need. I'll give you back so much love. There's a river of anointing. There's a river of life. There's an absolute abundance of my presence, of my spirit that will be poured out upon you. As I'm looking at this vessel, I suddenly see around this vessel that's overflowing and filled up, other small vessels scattered all around it. I watch the liquid pouring out and pouring into other vessels. I then watching those getting filled up and pouring into others. I watch other vessels pouring into others. And I'm thinking, oh my dear, that's what it is. Rivers of living water will flow out of us and start flowing out over other vessels. Other vessels, other vessels. I said, what's that one? He said, that's your wife, that's your mum, that's your dad. That's your brothers, that's your sisters. He said, but you've got 100-fold, son. So there's the church, here's the lost, here is the mystery of who has your heart. You ever seen the champagne glasses? He said, but make sure they don't look to you, you point them to me. You get them to give their whole heart to me. Otherwise, they'll look to you as a source and it'll become spiritual idolatry. Spiritual dependency. And it can move into all kinds of spiritual problems. I thought this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I said, Lord, I started to pray. He started to show me that there was a, although my umbilical cord had been cut from my mother physically, and I had left home, I still was emotionally and spiritually attached to her. The Bible actually says we're to be joined to the Lord, spirit of adoption. Bible says he's come to bring a sword, not peace, a sword. What to cut down between the mother and the daughter, father and the son. You read that scripture? I never understood it. He said to me, he said, do you understand that scripture? He said, I've never, ever understood it. I have not come to bring peace to the earth. I've come to bring a sword. The sword of the spirit that cuts between the soul and the spirit. You understand that? The sword of spirit that cuts between the soul and the spirit. So there is a spiritual joining between us and our family, especially for sons, you know what I mean? The person who's showing you the greatest love. For me, it was my mother. Could be a grandmother. Could be, you know what I mean? There's a spiritual thing. He said, you are to be, you know what I mean? Separated unto me. Joined to me. Married to me. Devoted to me. One with me. He said, there's no marriage in heaven, son. You'll be like angels. You realize that when people die, they often come to me and they, not the people who die, but people. Mind you, there's a fair few walking dead around there, but we're talking when people actually died and lost a loved one. They often come up to me after my meeting, share my testimony, and say, did you see any people up there? And God's often telling me why they're asking that question. Because their heart's still on that dead person. People come up about animals, and I know what the question is before they. I know what they're actually asking. They're not asking about the animals. They actually love animals more than love people. Their heart has been put on their little poodle or on the little, you know what I mean, little Timmy's running down the road there or whatever. You know what I mean? Some kelpie, whatever. People love trees. Some of them put their heart into anything that will actually love them back. Their pussycat, you know what I mean? Their horse. They won't talk to them. They say nasty words to them. Feed it, stroke it, it'll come up and keep you warm. Some people love their houses. Did you see your mansion up there? I said, oh, I don't care about it. I said, I saw him. He travels the heavens in the clouds. He moves the speed of light. I said, I want to be around Jesus where he's moving. I want to be around his creative power. I want to be walking with him. I want to be a son right next to him. I want to be sitting there watering my plants on holy golden boulevard. You know what the heck for? What on earth for? I said, in fact, why do we want a house? Because the Bible says that he never sleeps nor slumber. So if the Lord doesn't, and his light fills up, there's no more darkness, and we're in eternity, I don't know if I'll be sleeping. Bring out just a few thoughts. So I'm just standing there thinking, oh, Lord. So I started to pray this. He said it had become, the world says if you love someone, you give them your heart. How many have heard that? So we give our heart to someone. How many know that gets killed? Who has your heart? What has your heart? Have you ever asking God? Well, I asked a silly question, got the revelation. I then had to work through the practicality of what it meant to actually take my heart back from all the relationships, all the situations I put my heart into, you know what I mean? And some of it can be into very innate things, and some of them are all very good things. You understand, when we're a non-Christian, we have our heart into all the wrong things. Isn't that interesting? Then we get saved, we put our hearts into all the good things. We're wholeheartedly devoted until we burn out, hit the wall and blow up. Feel used and abused by the church and by leadership and actually just go, burn out. So I'm standing here thinking, oh man, this is the key. I said, but isn't it selfish to receive all this? You with me? Isn't it so selfish for me to receive all this love? He said, Ian, you love because I first loved you. You can do nothing apart from me. I said, but that lifts all the responsibility and burden off me. I said, aren't I supposed to serve you? He said, no, son, when I came to the disciples, I said to them, I'm going to wash your feet. He said, so I'm going to fill you, comfort you, wash your feet, bless you, so that you'll be a blessing. Not what you do, your position in me is that I love you as a vessel of honor. See, when I went into heaven, I realized that he loved me, and I just got saved out of the deathbed prayer. That love for him, for me, hasn't changed. The intensity of that love hasn't changed from that point. Do you understand? The same presence of that love is experiential now. What I was finding was that my love was being drawn out of me, dragged out of me, sucked out of me. I was finding dependence. I was finding people looking to me. I was finding people taking off my spirituality, and I was feeling as though I've been sucked dry. What we're talking about is the manifold presence of God remaining on us. Isn't that right? And walking in it. So you can love someone without them owning your heart. And we know there's a lot of manipulation, domination and control. There are strings attached to human love. There are things that are done by people to gain attention and affection. Some people do get sick to try and get attention. You know what I mean? There's a whole bunch of stuff. Money is used to bribe. There's jealousy. There's all kinds of said and unspoken and spiritual stuff going on, which is called the happy family, isn't it? We're called the family of God, aren't we? How many know in the family is some real serious problems? How many know that when you have Christmas, it's a very exciting time when all the family comes together? In the natural and in the spiritual. So I'm standing there in the bedroom. My wife's in the other room because we've kind of decided to just keep away from each other for a few days. Because the sparks started flying. I'm getting blasted by God. I'm having the anointing presence of God. I'm having the fire of God. I'm having the radiance of God coming on me. I'm saying, God, forgive me. I'm taking my heart back. God's taking the sword of spirit, cutting, you know what I mean? I'm joined to you. Praise God. I've got it. And I'm just radiating and fired up, walking to my wife. She's looking at me, what the heck's happened to you? So I tell her, just go straight over the head. We used to go to the mother-in-law's place for dinner every now and then. As we went there, what I would find is that when I went in there, my wife suddenly left being my wife and became the daughter. She disappeared. I couldn't find her anymore. She wasn't my wife anymore. We'd come out of there. We were gone in there, seamless of one. We'd come out often fighting. I got to the point where I didn't want to take her any more to the mother-in-law's place. I thought, the further I get away, the better. So we move further out into the valley. Or the less move nations. Of course, my wife, who had this trusted love relationship, started realizing that I didn't like her mother. Or some of her family members, who were quite religious, and you know what I mean. Anyhow, we start moving through all this. My wife, suddenly, we're praying for a couple in the church. Suddenly, my wife gets it. Bam. God speaks to her and said, your mother has your heart. This woman who has discipled you, she has your heart. Your family members are very close to her, have your heart. You have never been into gross sin, but you have, the whole area is this whole thing of who has your heart. And you've given your heart to Ian, and you've been devastated because he's taken his heart back from you, and you haven't understood why he's done it. She gets personal revelation of it, starts weeping and praying it through. God showed that it was spiritual idolatry, you know what I mean? And that there was a codependency, it went both ways. She'd taken her mum's heart too. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just that the mother had actually, you know what I mean, received her heart, she had received her mother. So whenever a mother was in trouble, it seemed to spiritually affect her and drag her down. There was things going on, it was a two-way thing. And she started to show my wife some stuff. My wife said, could you please pray for me, Ian? So I snuck in there, you know, started to pray for a bit. And suddenly I watched it break through. She looked at me, and as she got this breakthrough, weeping and just the presence of God all over her face, she said, I feel I'm flooded with trust for you. Oh my God. As she said that, I felt my love touch her. Bam. Do you realize the basis of love is trust? She'd been taught by many women not to trust men. Stand up for your rights, you know what I mean? Well, Christian woman livers, you know? Don't let men control you, dominate you, crush you. So she had had a reservation that men would destroy. Now all the worst fears have come true, of course, because you married me. And she'd be warned by all the family members, he's too strong. He'll destroy you. How'd you like to have that coming in? Don't we love each other? So here I am, loving her, wanting to serve her, wanting to do the best for her. And what we've got here, suddenly we hit in the spirit. Because our hearts are no longer in each other's hands. We're no longer dragging each other down. We no longer have to depend or live off each other. We're actually living off the Lord. Our marriage went. Our prayers went like this. Power of God started breaking loose. Fire of God fell on the church. Does it make any sense at all to you? Do you realize if this is not sorted out, it goes through to the next generation? Because what happens is the man, if he's got devastated in his marriage relationship and his heart's been hurt, he pulls back and puts his heart into work and business. Do you understand that? He becomes a workaholic. If not, he'll become an alcoholic in time. He goes into that. You know what women do when they've been had their heart broken and hurt? They put their heart into the children. They say, I'm in it for the children. The children then become the whole purpose and existence for their life. As they pour their heart into those children, and those children give their heart to the mother, and if the child don't respond to the mother, that child becomes his. Your favoritism? You're just like your father. Spoken and unspoken. Anyone tries to stand up against the mother, the child can get relegated. You know what I mean? Next, so you have division within the children. You have favoritism. Those children then end up getting married. Don't they? This dear woman has just lost what? Her love of her life. Her eldest daughter or her prized blue-eyed boy's son, you know what I mean? He goes off and marries someone, but you better make sure that someone's good enough for her son. If you lay a hand on him, I'll kill you. Understand? Moves further down. And it can break up marriages like that. How many know this is real? You hear the ramifications of this, you'll see an absolute... Do you realize the church isn't any different from the world? Because we haven't understood the mystery of the oneness in the marriage. That's why the church is in serious trouble. And we don't carry the manifold presence of God in us because we're receiving, because we're carrying what we say, oh, we lay all your burdens down and I've laid my children down in the altar, Lord, I've given them to you, and I've given to you, and I've given them to you, and I've given them to you. But the trouble is, they're still sucking you dry because your heart's still in their hands. You understand? So you might be saying these words, I cast the burdens, I lay them down, they don't have any effect upon my life, but they actually do because your heart has still got a divided heart. Eyes of the Lord, look for a heart who's wholly devoted to Him. In Him He will strengthen and empower. And the world is looking for it. They're looking for the love of God. We've got our own human love. We've got our own human anointing. You know what I mean? In the sense that God's given to us. God's given us all a portion. But if we don't start finding the ever-flowing stream of Him, His presence coming into us, then that will be very shortly taken out of us. The relationships will shatter and blow to pieces. And the enemy loves to destroy the marriage.
right in Genesis. He's right now trying to attack the bride of Christ. He's right now trying to just disintegrate it, destroy it, annihilate it before it even gets a chance to be birthed. And it all comes back into the area of intimacy and relationship and oneness. Great is the mystery, the unity. God put you completely different people together, which is an incredible mystery, because opposites attract, like magnets. Trouble is that when you actually try and, once you've attracted, you try and change the person to be just like you. Same in the church. We have a gift of prophecy. We want everyone to be prophets. We have a gift of evangelism. We want everyone to be evangelists. The same problem takes place in the fivefold. We start putting on who we are and not actually serving and honoring them with the heart and the love of God. We stop seeing from God's perspective. We stop seeing from His heart, because we actually haven't got our heart fully attached to Him. We're living out of, well, when I'm in trouble, God, I'll call upon you. Not out of the sense, well, you have my heart. Any time the presence of God can come to me. Why? Because there's no one else. There's nothing else cluttering it. There's nothing else holding my affection. There's nothing else that is grabbing my interest. There's nothing else that can come near to my love for you. I am a simple, devoted bride to you. You have all my heart. I will go anywhere and do anything for you. I'll be willing to lay my life down for you. I'm willing to count the cost of even that for you. My children don't own my heart. My wife doesn't own my heart. My mother. That means you can be free to go anywhere in the world. Do you understand that? I love my mother. Why would I want to spend many, many years away from her? I love my father. I was brought an affection through the healing of the Father heart of God. I love him. But in order to actually go to the nations, you're going to actually have to hit some of this out with. Because you won't be going anywhere. Some people don't leave outside their own street and family, because unless mum can actually ring, drive up there the next day, or be within 5 minutes, that daughter will not leave that environment. But we are to love the Lord our God, and the scriptures say, more than our. In fact, the scriptures say, even to the point of hating. Ooh, that's a very hard scripture to understand. Even to the point of even hating, in a sense, comparison to your love for God, your mother, your brothers, your fathers, your sisters. You remember that scripture? None of those scriptures ever get preached very often, because those scriptures are too hard to handle because of our humanistic understanding of the heart of God, an intimate relationship with Him. It's too big a cost. It steps outside the boundaries of the normal and steps into the boundaries of the supernatural. It gets out of the boundaries of what's acceptable and what's real, and honouring your mother and father, because if we honour our mother and father, we will actually honour God. There was a young boy that was in the vat when it smashed his father's idol, hiding, and said his name was Gideon, wasn't he? Did he honour his father and mother by doing what he did? Yes. He didn't obey them, but he honoured them. He honoured his heavenly father. When Jesus walked away from his own natural, what they thought to be his natural parents, but weren't, because they didn't birth him, there was a young boy back in the temple, and when they came, the parents were quite upset, because this young boy had walked away from his mother. It's called disobedience, isn't it? He said, but didn't you know I'd be in my father's house? And then he said to his own mother, who is my mother? Those who do the will of God and obey it. He said to John, here's your mother. You look after her at the cross. There's a place that in eternity, I'll spend eternity with a mother who's saved. I'll spend eternity with friends who are saved. But I'll tell you what, I've got a very short life on earth. How I live it, how I apply it to reality of fulfilling the call of God depends upon my understanding of the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart. Out of that, seek Him first. Seek His kingdom. Seek His presence. Out of that comes the wellsprings of life. Because out of the heart comes the issues of the wellsprings of life. I've had to pray with people who have actually lost their husband or their wife. Pray them through, because their grieving was completely out of bounds. It was out of bounds. They wanted to die to actually be with them. One dear woman had been grieving for so long. I had to tell her straight. I said, you have got to get your heart back from your husband. He said, well, he's dead. I said, I know. Well, what would happen if you die? She said, I'd run straight up there, run straight past Jesus and go to Him. I said, that's exactly right. At that point, when she spoke that, she got the revelation. She suddenly understood what was going on. And she said, oh God. Oh God. Looks really lovely, doesn't it? It sounds very humanistically beautiful, but it's not. There's a revelation that came to me in 1988, in my first year of marriage. So yeah, there's some working out on it. Any questions, any thoughts? Firstly, you've just got to ask Him and be willing to ask Him, Lord, show me my heart. Show me who has my heart. Who have I given my heart to? You'll know. I mean, Lord will very clearly untangle it. That's the first thing, Lord. Show me who have I given, or what, and perhaps even more aptly, what have I given my heart to? Because sometimes not even people. You understand? Because we've been so wounded by relationships and people that we love the world, we love what we do, but we actually don't like people, so we actually do functional stuff outside of people. Do you understand? So we say, Lord, who and what have I put my heart into? Because we want to be wholehearted, don't we? So most of you in here are leaders, you're wholehearted, you're wholehearted into something. Where do I spend most of my time in devotion? Do I spend that in, what do I do that in? Then, of course, once God shows you your heart, you have to come to the decision, are you willing to bring that back? Are you willing to give Him it? Do you realize there's a risk? Because human love is tangible, isn't it? You know what I mean? What you've got is very tangible. When you start cutting bridges, and cut, in a sense, and you put all your eggs in one basket, God, how many know it's a little bit frightening? But how many know the older you get, the more sense it makes? You understand, don't you? I've found older people know exactly what I'm talking about. I also know people who have lost loved ones and are by themselves, they also know. Those who have gone through divorce understand what it is to die, you see. So they understand what I'm talking about. They are in love with Him. They are in love with Him. Single people, they are in love with Him. It's a bit more complicated when we move into the great mystery of the marriage. That's where it gets a little bit dangerous and a little bit hurtful and very, very devastating. Then when you ask God to help you bring your heart back, then there's some cords to be cut. How many know that? There's also forgiveness. You've actually got to forgive people who have manipulated and dominated you. You've actually got to ask God for forgiveness for what you've done. You understand that? Not just some magical thing saying, look, I'll take a sword. I have a lot of people going around cutting soul ties, but I found that some of that stuff's just all hocus pocus in a sense. They've got the principle of the sword of the Spirit, but they haven't understood the fact of repentance, the fact of forgiveness, the fact of revelation of their heart, and they can't just go cutting cords without understanding what they're doing. You don't go doing that. And when you cut something, you've got to be joined back. You understand? There is a cord, spirit of adoption, the cord of God that will adopt us. Do you want to realize that heavenly thing? And I also want to take the good things of my mother, good things, of, you know what I mean? So there's an inheritance that comes through. We're not just cutting off everything, we're cutting off the bad stuff, aren't we? The insecurity, the fears, the domination, the jealousy, the anger. We're trying to cut off the stuff that's coming down. I don't want to be like my dad. I want to be like my heavenly dad. But there's parts of my dad I really want to be like. You understand? So there's discernment and separating of the cords of the emotional, the spiritual, the natural. Things that have come down through the second, third generation. The sins that are visiting those children because of the sins of the father. But there is a place where we actually want to have the good stuff. The good inheritance, the godly stuff, the beautiful character and heart of our loved ones who have brought us into this world. And we're not talking about alienating ourselves and cutting off my parents. We're not. We're actually finding that we're going to have greater love for them because we're going to be actually more joined to Jesus. You're going to be reparented, refathered. And you're going to realize that messed up person that you sit next to can sort their own life out too. So don't go trying to take the log out of your brother's eye when you speak out of your brother's eye when you've got the log in yours. So don't go try and sort your husband out, woman. And husbands, don't try sorting your wife out because you'll find their problems a lot quicker than they will. So you telling them isn't going to help them much. What you've got to do is say, me, Lord. And let the Holy Spirit bring revelation to them in His timing. And you'll be willing to pray for them and love them and be very gracious. Don't go and try and sort all your kids out and sort everybody else's marriages out and sort everything else out. Sort yourself out. And that could take a little bit of time. Trust me, it took me months and months and months. Then you think you got through it, you got another big understanding of, no, you didn't get anything, son. After how many years of being married, 16 years, I'm still on that boat some days. I thought, I think I've got it. And poof. You know? Some things are deep-rooted, aren't they? They require the axe. And you've got to dig and dig and dig. Sometimes you scrape them with a spoon. You know what I mean? Trying to get down to where the root of that really goes down to. But you can find it. And the Lord's help. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be one with Him and have a oneness and love relationship with your wife and partner, your husband and wife, that intimacy brings you into the spirit realm so you can actually pray together, where you can actually worship together, where you can actually minister together? Not he goes off and does his ministry and she goes off and does her ministry. You heard all this stuff? I'd far rather my closest friend be my wife. Not Neil. In fact, my wife is way beyond any friendship I have with any other person on the planet. The intimacy, the knowledge, the relationship I have outside of no other relationship, my wife's in. You realize that there's a risk too. But that's the willingness of trying to become one. He's looking very, very quiet at me. It's a bit different, wasn't it, tonight? So let's just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to allow the Lord to reveal to us some issues and some areas and allow the Holy Spirit to come to that. Because it is an untangling. Because as the Lord untangles us, he starts untangling the body, he starts untangling the world to bring everyone in simple devotion to Christ. The simplicity of that love, the simplicity of the greatest being, his love for you. That you can walk free of having to carry the burden of the church, the burden of the lost. I don't carry the burden of the church or the burden of the lost. I don't carry, you know what I mean? I carry, but it's light. It was a heavy yoke before this, but I carry it quite lightly. People say, aren't you exhausted after some of these meetings? Well, I might be physically, but I'm actually more charged up in the anointing because I'm actually just standing there receiving too. And if anyone gets anything, it's out of an overflow. It's not out of my emptiness. Do you understand? So if anything comes, it's like anointing. Why? You think, isn't that so? No, that's the most wise thing you can do is get absolutely drenched in the anointing of God so you can hardly stand in it, but you love it, and you go, Lord, more. And then you start realizing it's starting to overflow out of you. Yes, that's it. The radiance, the glory, the fullness of God coming into this man and actually coming out. Not my goodness, not my... It's just attached to him. It's an outworking of who you are in him. It's outworking of his presence filling you. Not coming up and getting it from someone else. Well, you may get the anointing from them, but it's the power of God upon them, the anointing and gifts and calling upon them. But don't go doing that, otherwise you become a spiritual juggler. You go to every single conference on the planet looking for every man of God to lay his hands upon you and hoping that he'll notice you. Well, guess what? That's insecurity and fear. You need to actually grow up. You need to wake up. You need to get out of that and start moving into what God's got you for, which is to love you. Directly, not through intermediaries, not through some holy place, not through some special anointed conference, not through some special man of God, but from him. To know him. To live in him. To walk in him. To have absolute intimate relationship with him. So, Father, I thank you that at least now I feel the Spirit of God coming. It's been pretty scary talking all this stuff. But, Lord, I pray that the revelation would come in the Spirit. That, Lord, that which is of me that's not of you would just blow away. And then, Father, that which has gone deep into their heart would be a fruit. And, Father, you would just bring the dew of heaven. You'd bring the rain of your anointing down upon people's hearts who are seeking to love you, seeking to know your manifest presence. And as Jesus said, Father, I pray that they'd be one as we are one. I pray that they'd know the intimacy and the tenderness of your voice and your love and your comfort. That they'd know what it is to stand in your radiant glory without fear and shame. That they'd know what it is to be joined as the bride of Christ. Lover, preparing their heart for marriage throughout eternity. Married to the Lord. And Father, in that, loving you and then loving thy neighbour as thyself. And who is thy neighbour? Those you are most intimate and closely associated with. And Father, but they only receive love out of the fullness of what you've given us, out of the overflow of your tender mercies towards us. And Father, I pray that you would begin to minister life and anointing and healing, revelation and truth. You begin to bring the sword of the Spirit and start to cut off things that have bound people. You begin to help them see where their heart's at. And Lord, who they've given their heart to and whose heart they carry. Because Lord, many people out of compassion and love carry others. They literally carry their hearts and souls and burdens. And Father, I pray that you would release them to give them back. That they would no longer be carrying others' hearts and being sucked dry by other individuals. I pray that they would get revelation through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want you just to wait on the Lord. Take the time we've got. Just to wait on him. And ask him. Many people's hearts have also been so hurt that they're almost dead inside. So don't just go on the emotion, go on the reality of the revelation of the truth.